Welcome in, everybody. It is Thursday night, 8 Eastern time, 7 Central. It is time once again for Overreaction Buffalo right here on the Overreaction Sports Network. I am the Big O, Jerry Ostrowski. I'll introduce my friend here in a moment if you haven't seen him in a bit. He's a busy dude. But as we always say, and I'm not going to go into that whole diatribe that Joe goes into, basically a phrase or a segment of the famous poem Invictus. We just would like to say welcome for being here with us on a Thursday night. We appreciate you as always. If you're on Facebook, if you're on X, jump on into YouTube. Head on over into the chat. Interact with the show. As always, we're on a race to 1,000. We're getting close, folks. Tell your friends. Hey, man, just even if you don't watch on YouTube, go over and click that subscribe button. Once we get to 1,000, we can do some more stuff for you. We got a lot of stuff planned. But my friend, one of the three-headed monster here at Overreaction Buffalo, fresh out of Tucson, Arizona, 6'5", 200 and what? Are you still over 230?
Oh, yeah. I'm in the 240s, Jerry O.
245 pounds of solid steel with sex appeal. None other than John Fina.
Oh, it's good to be back, man. Spring football at high school coaching has just got me running right from my job into my car, off to practice. And I missed you guys. I missed the whole group. I missed everybody in the comments. Thanks, Daniel. Tracy, Maggie, everybody, Richard Rush is in the comments there. Keep bringing it. We love having you guys. We love breaking down the Bills for you. It's just such a great time. Keeps Jerry and I connected to every one of you, connected to our beloved Buffalo Bills.
You know, I'm excited, John, as I'm sure you are too. You know, finals are happening. They're getting ready to wrap up, and there's kind of that two and a half week hiatus in college football where – the kids actually get to go be kids for a little while. Of course, Owen's across town. I get to see him here and there, but he'll be around for a couple weeks. My son, the coaches at Eastern Illinois, Jackson, he'll be in town with his fiance next week. So whole family will be back together. It'll be like old times. We'll just sit in the living room and they'll all just crack jokes on me the whole time. You know how it is. Just like it always is.
Jerry, be honest. You guys are going to sit around the smoker and smoke an entire pig and pull out a few cocktails and do a little pig picking?
Yes, there is nothing better than when your children are grown enough that you can just sit around with them and shoot the bull and, have a couple of drinks and all that. But, hey, we got a lot going on at One Bills Drive this weekend. Bills rookie minicamp takes place. It's the 10th, the 11th. Starts tomorrow. And just to kind of give you a little bit, and I'm going to talk to John, and I have an answer to this as well, but I want John to give his opinion. Bills are in what they call phase two of OTAs, okay, organized team activities. Here's what these rookies will be able to do in rookie minicamp this weekend in Buffalo. And by the way, the only time you can practice an OTA officially that's not a minicamp, or that is a mini camp, is on the weekend. You can't practice on the weekends unless it's a mini camp, which only happens twice. There's a rookie mini camp and a vet mini camp in June. But what they can do in phase two is this. They can have individual instruction. They can be in the classroom, all that stuff, on the field, drill work. They can have on the field workouts and drills, like I talked about. You can't go offense against defense, John. It's only offense against offense, defense against defense. You can't have 9-on-7 against the defense. You can't have 7-on-7. You can't have team. Your chuckle leads me into why I'm asking you first, because I know where this is going to go, right? No live contact, John, because you're not allowed to wear helmets, okay? We talked about it off air. Arizona high school spring ball can't wear helmets. Oklahoma high school spring ball a couple years ago, they switched it to where you can wear helmets. But in phase two, no helmets. You can only do perfect plays or walkthroughs again against your own. You can't compete against the other side of the ball. And one thing it's different than phase one, all the coaches are allowed on the field during these workouts. So, John, how does that sound in comparison to what we used to do?
Man, I could tell you, after the draft, I end up getting on a plane. I show up to rookie mini camp in Buffalo, and it's like 35 degrees and icy rain coming down. I'm out field. Phil Hansen is going full speed, and we're having t-shirts. I think I still have a bruise on my shoulder from Phil Hansen just going nuts. My head was spinning. I went to the meeting rooms. These guys already know the installation. I'm working on like trying to understand the terminology. I didn't run these plays in college. It was a disaster. I was like, oh my God, what the hell is going on? But I think, Jerry, you know, this is an opportunity to bring in all these undrafted free agents, the drafted rookies, the invites to camp, and really they just want to get eyes on them, right? I mean, the collective bargaining agreement has done what it's done. So I think they just look at this as a pivot. Let's check their attention span. Let's get them into the playbook. Let's see, it's like Christmas, right? We invited these guys. We might not have ever even seen them in person. We gotta peel back the wrapping paper and see what we got.
You know, John, I remember when we went in and when we used to have mini camp and stuff, and when we were first there as young guys, you know, there's that whole part whole teaching philosophy. And you talked about going to the first mini camp against Phil Hansen, against some of these guys that were like working at a much different speed and elusiveness and fluidity than you've ever seen. And you weren't really, they didn't really break things down. It was more of along the lines of you got taught an entire play and you went out and you were supposed to run it, knowing that you were going to make mistakes, right? So there's that hole. And then after that, they kind of slowed down and broke it down position by position a little bit. And then once training camp happened, they went back to that more of that whole aspect again. But yeah, I mean, and then it just, and the funny thing is now we talk about versatility, right? We talk about all the different things, and we've brought up multiple times, I played guard, center, tackle, you know, you played left tackle, but I know you've played other spots. Think about if you went into mini camp knowing you had to play multiple positions, just how hard it would be.
Well, yeah, you throw them into a blender, right? They have no idea what's going on. I think that's part of it too. How's a guy going to react, yes, right? You want to see, you know, you look at the guys that they signed and the programs they came from, and, you know, I think on paper you get the right guys. But now they're at a whole different level. The competition is ramped up. You know, my senior year of college, I might have faced one guy that was as good as Phil Hansen. And, you know, then you get into the NFL, and every guy is that good or better. There's no time off. So I think by and large, you know, this is going to be a process where they introduce them to how things are done the Buffalo Bills way. They probably bring in some speakers, talk to them about what it takes to be a pro. You know, it's going to be a lot of classroom time. I mean, you can't be on the field for more than a, you know, couple, 3 hours a day if you do two practices or walkthroughs or what have you. So it's going to be a long, long, tedious type of meetings, but they're valuable, right? So you check, you're making sure the guys are paying attention, that they're, you know, they're reacting appropriately. And then you can get a read on guys like that. Coaches can get a feel for guys just how the way they behave in the meeting rooms, whether they're on time, going to the right place, picking it up. And that's part of the idea of throwing it at them, is how well can they absorb it and react. Did Jerry go mute on everybody or just me?
Just you. I coughed a second ago. I forgot to hit the cough button. But we'll go into the invited rookie minicamp list here in a minute. But one of the things that I think is the biggest eye-opener for a lot of these rookies, and John, I think you can attest to this, especially nowadays, as nice as one Bill's drive is, okay, as nice as some of these NFL facilities are, they're still not anywhere near as nice as a lot of what these guys are coming from, right? And then the other aspect of it is, you know, these guys get up. Some days they have class. Some days they don't. They might go to the training room. They got times they can lift. They get lunch. Then they go to meetings. They practice. You know, they got this. They got a time limit on what they can and cannot do. Now, obviously, in OTAs, they do have some time limits on the field. But when you look at the amount of time when you're a kid coming in from college and you think that they got your ass in a bear trap there, and by the way, the bear trap thing was on purpose because of Bear Down Arizona. But if you look at the time spent in college, you're like, man, I'm so busy. I can't believe I got to do all this. And then they show up to rookie minicamp and they look how regimented the schedule is. yo, bro, this is like all of a sudden, wait a second, this is a job. It's a little different.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Jerry. And that's the thing I think that might have been lacking a little bit back when we were in Buffalo. There really should be part of this orientation, if you will, the idea that you're no longer a kid. You're a full-blown adult. You may not feel like it, but this is your job. This is, you know, Karl Mach used to say to us, hone your craft, right? Hone your craft. Whether you're an accountant or an economist or whatever you do for a living, you know, you want to be at the top of your game, and you have to look at yourself as a professional. You know, this is not my identity as a Buffalo Bill, but as a professional athlete. And I should be looking at the epitome of how to behave professionally. And I think if they can really entrench that, if they can really drive that into the kids, you know, you can give them a little bit of a head start.
Right, because that whole term that is used all the time, you know, learn how to be a pro. This is where learning how to be a pro starts.
And it's truncated, right? You say pro, but really what we mean is a professional, right? Of whatever your discipline is, be a professional.
Exactly. Real quick, invited rookie minicamp list. They got quite a few guys on there. These are guys that they bring in. It's a once in a blue moon do they sign a couple of these guys to actually be on the main roster. I think the Bills are sitting at around 68 right now, something of that nature. They're definitely in the mid-60s as far as number of players on their roster. But you look at this invited minicamp, rookie minicamp list. You got Sheridan Jones, the cornerback from Clemson, Travis Blackshire, cornerback Furman, Jason Simmons, a defensive back from Southern Miss, Nelson Paul, defensive end from SMU, Devin Phillips, a D lineman from Kansas, Jack Daly, a D tackle from FIU, Colby Faqua, a linebacker from Jacksonville State, Stephen Hills, a linebacker from South Dakota, Michael Fortney, an offensive lineman from Wisconsin, Gunnar Wilson, a quarterback from Troy, and then Al Walcott, a safety from Baylor. The deal is this, a lot of these guys are brought in because, and this is sad to say, but they need bodies to practice. They need bodies to fill an entire five guys up front for a line. They need a couple quarterbacks to throw balls for pass routes and things like that. So are these guys that will necessarily be relied on or be signed? Maybe. Maybe there's somebody that knocks their socks off. It's a little bit harder now considering you can't wear helmets. You can't run into one another. You can't touch one another. You can't go against a defense or offense. It's a little bit harder to really – because these guys that come in, these are your guys, and when they show up, the effort is through the roof. I mean, John will tell you as a vet, these are the dudes that are kind of annoying, right, John?
Yeah. Yeah. That is true. I mean, I got the tone it down rookie quite a few times.
Yeah.
Jerry, I take a little bit different angle on that. I mean, you know, for the casual listener, you know, you think, oh, well, these guys are disposable. You're bringing them in for a singular purpose, and it's not very attractive, not terribly wonderful. But for the rest of their lives, they get to say they were in a professional football locker room, right? They got to be coached. They got to hang out with guys, you know, that one day might be in the Hall of Fame. Right. So it's still an amazing experience. And I think regardless of where they end up on our roster or another or none, you know, this is an experience that hopefully, you know, it prepares them for whatever comes next in their life. And I think there's tremendous value in that. I'd love to go back, be a rookie for a weekend and hang out.
Oh, no doubt.
And you're right about the facilities, boy. These college facilities are insane. But, you know, the pros don't have to do that. I mean, it's nice to have a good facility. It was, you know, compared to what it is now. I mean, how was the Bills facility when we were there?
Well, I'll just put it to you this way. I still had an ashtray epoxied in my locker when I got there. And I think you might have as well. They might have taken it out. But I had an ashtray epoxied in my locker. But also real fast, the Bills have announced 12 undrafted rookie free agents that they've signed to their roster. That list is as follows. Guard Keaton Bills, great last name. By the way, catch a theme here. Guard from Utah. Punter Jack Browning from San Diego State. If the first one didn't work out, you get the next one. They went ahead and signed the defensive end, David Ugwabu from Houston. Moving on to that, they got a cornerback, Kenny Lovely from Western Michigan. Guard Gunnar Britton from Auburn. Cornerback to Corey Couch from Miami. A name that you'll all recognize, Frank Gore Jr., running back from Southern Mississippi. A defensive tackle from Oklahoma, Rondell Boothroyd. They got O.L. Mike Edwards from Campbell, which is a school in North Carolina.
Yep.
They got a wide receiver from Tulane, Lawrence Keys. He's small, but he's interesting. I've seen him play. Guy can make some plays. He was at Notre Dame before he went to Tulane. They signed a defensive tackle, Branson Dean from Miami, and wide receiver Xavier Johnson from Ohio State. So that's the list of their undrafted rookies that they have signed to the roster. Again, they're sitting, I think, like 65 to 68 right now as they roll in the rookie minicamp.
I love these names, you know, mostly because the schools they come from. I can't speak to Campbell, but all these programs are strong, right? The MAC doesn't kid around, Western Michigan. Tulane has been on the rise, the green wave rise, for a number of years. And you got Miami, Oklahoma, or Ohio State, Houston. You know, I think that is, it's very clear they want to take guys from programs where they know how to compete, they know how to win. And what's really interesting about this is look at the position groups. Really, it boils down to four position groups: cornerback, offensive line, defensive end, and wide receiver, right? And everywhere where we, like, you'd love to have 20 picks in the draft, right, Jerry? But you just don't. And those are the position groups, I think, by and large, every podcaster, anybody in the know said that the Buffalo Bills need to really look hard at. So they loaded up on the position groups that they need. I love it. And Jerry's on mute again. So I'll just...
I'm here. I apologize. As we move forward on the show today, Thursday edition, Overreaction Buffalo. John Fina in the house. I'm excited. I haven't seen my man John in a little bit. Very, very busy man. Coaching, working. He's got all kinds of stuff going on. Joe will be back Sunday, I believe. He is on a business trip. Amazingly enough, folks, until you keep hitting that subscribe button on YouTube, we all have to have day jobs.
So, daydream, yeah. Well, we're still going to have day jobs anyway, Jerry.
That is true. But as we roll along, and we got rookie minicamp this weekend, you know, a rookie class, including our draft picks like Keon Coleman, Cole Bishop, Ray Davis. You know, what I would say, John, I'll ask you this. You know, first look at those guys in red, white, and blue. What do you, after these next 2 days, you're Sean McDermott, you're Brandon Bean, you know, you're Brady, you know, Bobby Babbage Jr. What do you want to see out of these marquee guys that you picked rather high in this season's and this year's NFL draft?
Well, number one, I want to see energy from the coaches, right? You know, that this is not a routine year for the Buffalo Bills. It's not a reload, rebuild type of year. I think it's a little bit of a retool. You know, you got to keep these guys interested, excited. You want everybody to think they have a chance to make the team, right? You want to make sure that they don't go overboard. But again, I go back to, I mean, they might have seen some of these guys at the combine. They only get 30 official visits, so to speak. So what happened to them? What happened to them between, you know, their last college football game and today? What kind of guy are they going to be? So, you know, this is really a strong assessment period. They'll leave this and stack rank some of these guys, whether they're just camp bodies, as one might say, or rookie draft picks or undrafted free agents. You know, they're all – you're under the microscope. Would you agree?
Oh, there's not a – without a doubt. I mean, they're going to want to see how guys interact with their teammates. They're going to want to look at body language. They're going to want to look at energy. They're going to look at effort, all those things, attentiveness in meetings, retention from the meeting room to the field. If I teach you this pass route patterns, are you going to be able to take it from the meeting room 35, 45 minutes ago and bring it to the field and remember it, or am I going to have to tell you what to do again? Because a big thing in the NFL, and probably the most important thing for a rookie, and everybody thinks it's this, it's that, it's physical. The biggest thing with rookies is trust. Can a rookie learn the playbook? If a rookie can learn the playbook and apply what he learns in the meeting room and take it to the field where they can trust you when they put you in, that is a big deal and goes a long, long way.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. There is a component here that, you know, I always like to reemphasize. Like, I think for the fan base, this OTA doesn't teach you anything, right? Don't go trying to read the tarot cards. Don't try to go guessing. You know, nothing is really going to flesh out until training camp starts. And we're going to see guys, you know, do better than we thought. There'll be surprises. There'll be other guys that should just kind of disappear a little bit. But by and large, you know, you just got to step back, let everybody have their chance, and let's not start really evaluating these guys from a non-contact, non-helmet, more or less walkthrough in this little OTA thing.
Well, I think that even goes along the lines with guys like Keon Coleman and Bishop and those guys. I mean, even though they're high draft picks, until the bullets are real, until they're out there and they're playing in regular season games, they're going to have to be patient and give them a chance to develop and move along. I guarantee you the player that walks on the field week one is not the same player that walks on the field week 17. And there's going to have to be some patience because other than your quarterback and a few other positions, the youth movement is on in Buffalo, and you're going to have to be patient with some of these guys. It's going to take them a minute. You know, Keon's not going to learn how to separate or get off of press coverage better than he did in Tallahassee until he's out there facing the top corners in the league. Yep. And it's just that simple. So if you – and John said it the best, please do not get wrapped up in what goes on May 10th and May 11th. This is nothing but a means to get them in and get them a kickstart or a jump start on the playbook. But the interesting thing is, John, and I remember they used to do this in the past, but they don't do it anymore. You remember when they had you'd have a coaching change or a coordinator change, they would give you an extra couple days because you're putting in new offense or whatever. We did have a couple of changes at coordinator. I know Brady was midway through, so he probably doesn't count, but they don't have that anymore. I mean, basically everybody has the same rules, the same number of days that they can do OTAs, the same number of days they can be in meeting rooms. So it's not quite how it used to be, but back in the day, if you had a coaching change, especially the head coach, the league gave you extra time for the players to be able to learn what's going on. But you have to figure coming into this, not so much on the defensive side of the ball, but definitely the offensive side of the ball. While terminology may stay the same, I'd have to think that Joe Brady's going to implement quite a few new things on the offense.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, they have to evolve. You know, the philosophy was good. He picked it up in the middle of the season. I think they did some pretty darn good things. But you look around the league, and it's far more creative than it was when we played. And, you know, the evolution of football, that's, to me, just as a bystander looking at the way the game evolved, it's really exciting. And, you know, you got to beg, borrow, and steal from everybody, right? Imitation is the highest form of flattery. And if you see something that the Chargers use that you like, or Dallas or Green Bay, you know, give it a shot. See if your personnel works for that and implement those things. You know, you got to start pushing these guys and stress them a little bit to adopt something outside their comfort zone.
Sunday, I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about OTAs. I know some of the rookies will be made available to the media. We can have some access to some press conferences. I'm sure some news will come out of One Bills Drive about what went on OTAs and some of the things that were seen and witnessed, and we'll get into a little bit of that on Sunday. Remember, Sunday right here, Overreaction Buffalo on YouTube, on Facebook Live, on X. You can check us out, 8 Eastern, 7 Central. And, John, will you be able to join us on Sunday?
I don't know. I haven't looked at my return flights. I'm out this weekend. Crazy time for me, as everybody might know. My oldest son's in the portal. My younger son is getting recruited. So we've got obligations and flights all over the place. I hope to be there. And you alluded to it a little bit earlier. Big news coming out of One Bill's Drive, Jerry. And, you know, we all wish John Murphy the best. We're, you know, sad to see him go and hope that his recovery from his stroke is going to be, you know, 100%. But maybe it's time to chill out a little bit, John. You know, we'll miss you. But, Jerry, you have any memories of John Murphy you want to share, just how you interacted with him? I know I have one or two.
I've got a couple, but I think my favorite time of John, and John did such a wonderful job as the play-by-play voice of the Bills, when he was teamed with the legendary Van Miller, their interaction and the way they handled things together was so awesome. And John played such the consummate straight man to Van, who of course had 9 million sayings and catchphrases and things like that. But I can't speak for you, John. I don't know about your history as far as a kid listening to sports and everything, but I can still remember. I'm old enough. I know you're old enough to have the radio that had the plug-in earpiece. I had one earpiece that went into my ear, and I would my mom or dad would say, you know, get to bed. So I'd go to bed and I'd put that earpiece in and I'd listen to Harry Callis. And I'd listen to Richie Ashburn of the, you know, calling Phillies games, and then of course, you know, Eagles games and all this stuff. And it was just, you know, Merle Reese with the Eagles and then Gene Hart with the Flyers. And you hear these voices that are voices of your childhood, and not only like just growing up, you remember those guys. And you know, Van was that guy and John was that guy, and then John became the man. And it's just, you know, Chris is doing a great job. And, you know, Chris was put in some really, really difficult shoes. He was in a difficult role of having to suddenly take over the booth without any sort of, you know, really planned exit strategy for John. But hopefully I've heard today that, you know, as he continually gets stronger and tries to get, you know, get his voice back and those types of things, that he can possibly be part of some broadcasts as far as being a part of the broadcast team, maybe doing a halftime thing or pregame thing, which would be awesome. Because when you hear these voices, it's funny when you watch a highlight, a famous highlight with the TV guy calling it, it's not the same as when they cut the TV guy out and they bring that guy that you've listened to for years and his voice is comforting and he takes over. It puts a totally different perspective on it.
Yeah, the energy, the radio energy is great. And there were times when Murphy reminded me of Dick Enberg from when we were kids.
Yeah.
Right. Dick Enberg could take the most mundane thing that happened in the game and in a moment make you think, like, oh, my God, I got to run back to the TV. You know, he could say, and the paint is drying on the wall. And you're like, oh, my God, now I got to go look. Right. I mean, nothing really happened, but my pulse went up. I'm engaged. I'm super excited. My interaction with Murphy was kind of interesting. You know, back in those days, there was no social media. And the only way you were portrayed to the public was through the three various, media outlets, radio, TV, and newspaper, right? Yeah. So there were times when things weren't great at One Bill's Drive. We weren't winning enough. Things get a little adversarial with some of the reporters. And, you know, John would press me a little bit and I'd push back. And then afterward, he'd always come by and he's always just like regular guy. You know, I think if the Bills can figure out a way to keep him involved, they will be the better for it. You know, he's just got such a great temperament, such a terrific attitude, and a really, really great perspective.
Because, and you're right, John, he was unique. And he was unique in the fact that he was a sports director at a local channel, but then he also worked in the booth. And yep. That is something that you don't really get a lot of, or did get a lot of. I mean, most of the famous guys were announcers. They did their thing. They showed up. They gave them their information. They talked to a couple of people at the bar, and they did their show, right? Or they did the broadcast. Where Murph had that, he was there on Wednesday for press conferences. He was down there after games getting sound bites for television. So yeah, definitely a different relationship, but hopefully he does have a role coming back. I mean, I, you know, Rick Jeanneret passed last year, and the greats it bothers me because I don't know. I know some of the people that are over in our comment section remember these guys, and I know some are old enough to where they caught maybe the ends of their careers, but it's just I don't know. I don't know if it makes you sad. It makes you realize the age you're getting to, but the guys that painted the picture when you were a kid, when they're no longer around, it kind of sucks, man. It really does.
Yeah, it does. You know, father time is coming for all of us, Jerry. You know, it's just a condition of living. Every day we're getting closer to death. Yes. Hopefully it's just further away, and we, you know, keep our best health as long as we can. I know that a lot of people feel like it was kind of a slow death, thinking that the schedule would be released, right? The schedule drop. What the hell happened to that?
Schedule drop is next Wednesday. We're going to have an instant reaction show next Wednesday.
Oh, I can't wait. I mean, I got the Chargers. They're playing out here in the West. I think I can get to that game, and I think there's another one that's a direct flight from Tucson. Of course, I have to measure that with a high school game and a college game.
Yes.
It kind of kicked me in the butt during the flu season when there were four games I could have gone to, four games on the West Coast, and couldn't go to any of them.
But we'll have a show Wednesday. We'll get it out there. We got On the Beat on Tuesday. I can't remember who our guest is, but I know we've got guests lined up for On the Beat for like the next 8 weeks already. So that schedule's full as we head into the doldrums of the summer as we move towards fall camp. Sunday night we'll be back. I'll be here. I'm pretty sure Joe will be here. John may be here, but we'll talk a little bit about OTAs and some of the news we heard and get into some other stuff. But again, Tuesday On the Beat, then Wednesday special edition Overreaction Buffalo. We will have a instant reaction show talking about the schedule release. Yes, Joe Miller just put it up on Tuesday. Speaking of old guys, John, Vic Carucci will join us on Tuesday on the Beat, which I'm fired up about.
I love Vic
and have a good relationship with Vic.
I did an interview with Vic a few years ago for a book or an article he was doing, and we had a great conversation. It was awesome. And for everybody in the comments, love us, hate us, share it, hit the subscribe button. We love to have you challenge us. We love to see your contrarian points, and we like to bring them up. So toss them in there, tell a friend, and join us the next time around. But Vic Carucci, that's a good get. That should be a good show. And definitely. Vic, I'll tell you, Jerry, man, when we were playing, I did not like Vic Carucci. I saw him coming. I was like, don't talk to me, Vic.
That's why I respect Vic. Vic saw something, he wrote about it. Vic did not necessarily fabricate. Vic, when he saw things, he wrote about them. And
yeah, well, I mean, I respect him. I just didn't like it.
As I told my son, I said, son, you don't know what pressure is, or you don't know what ridicule is, until you open up the sports section of the Buffalo News and your face is on the is on the front of it with four of the other guys you play with. And they're writing an article that's not real glaring about your play as of late. So anyway, but Vic Carucci on the Beat on Tuesday, special edition, instant reaction. We will talk about the NFL schedule release on Wednesday. We'll have the Overreaction Buffalo show Thursday and Sunday. So here's the deal before we get out of here. I will tell you this. So in the off season, as we roll to the fall, we will be on Tuesday nights On the Beat, Thursday nights Overreaction, a different collection of ourselves on Thursday nights, the same thing on Sunday. And then as we roll into the season, not giving you show names, we will release that. We'll have a release party on that when we get to it. But as we get to the fall, we will have a show Monday night, Tuesday night, possibly Wednesday night. I'm not sure on that, but definitely Thursday night. And then we'll have the Overreaction Buffalo show, post-game show, Overreaction post-game show on Sundays or whenever they play that week after the game. So that's kind of where we'll be. We're definitely coming with a bunch of content for you. We're having a blast, folks. Do us a favor. Hit the like button on YouTube. If you're not watching on YouTube, when you hang up, go to YouTube, hit that subscribe button, get us over 1,000. Lots of stuff we want to do. But thanks. You guys have been awesome. The reaction of the fan base. I'd expect nothing different from Bills Mafia. They show out and they show up. They show up and show out. And Thank you very much. We're having a good time with it.
Hell yeah, baby. Hell yeah.
All right. Well, that does it for this Thursday edition of Overreaction Buffalo. Check it out this weekend. One Bills Drive, OTAs for the rookies. They'll be in there for rookie minicamp. We'll talk about that some on Sunday night, amongst other things. I am the big O, Jerry Ostrowski. He is John Fina. And once again, thanks as always. Hit the like, hit the subscribe. And as always, folks, go Bills.
Go Bills, Jerry O.